On this Labor Day, we're talking about unions in Wisconsin. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new Gallup poll finds that support for unions is about as high as it's been in a half century. 125 years ago, President Grover Cleveland signed a law establishing the Labor Day holiday after a period of labor unrest in our country. But the favorable opinion of unions today hasn't translated into more of them, especially as states put restrictions on collective bargaining. Are you in a union? What's your job? And what do you gain from your membership in union dues? We're at 800-642-1234. Stephanie Bloomingdale is president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. Stephanie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, and good morning, and happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to you. What are Wisconsin labor unions focused on today? What is the priority?
Well, today is Labor Day, and this is a day that we pause and honor the achievements of American workers throughout our history. And we pay respect to those who fought before us and won many of the rights that working people have today. And it's also a chance to look at where we need to improve working people's lives. So yes, Labor Day is the only national holiday that celebrates workers themselves and recognizes, and we thank unions and the people that came before us for the 8-hour day, weekends, the end of child labor, and also unemployment compensation, workman's compensation. And it is a time where we really check where we are today, because right now there's so much more left to do in terms of making sure that working people have a fair shot to have a better life for themselves. And far too many people are working more than one job. Our wages are stagnant. In fact, over the last 30 years, we see that wages have only risen in real terms about 11% since 1978, yet CEO pay has gone up 978%. So we need a change in that, and the change to that kind of massive inequality that we see is to open the path for more workers to organize into unions. We know there's a direct correlation between union density and income inequality. The only way to solve our problem with workers falling behind is to make sure that workers can come together free of intimidation and harassment to organize unions in their workplaces. And one of the bills in Congress right now, which is protecting the right to organize, is the PRO Act. And this act will do many things to solve that problem and take away many of the barriers that working people see when they try to organize right now. Many times companies and CEOs will hire million-dollar shady consultants that come in and try to dissuade and harass workers from their right to organize with their coworkers. Well, and we know when coworkers come together with their voices together, they can bargain for better wages, better working conditions. And that not only helps themselves, but it also helps all working people because it raises the wages and expectations of all workers.
Well, let's look at legislation for a moment. And Act 10, Governor Scott Walker passed Act 10 in 2011. Remind us what changed with that overhaul of collective bargaining rights in Wisconsin.
Well, really, we saw a eight years of attacks on working people with the Union Buster in Chief, Scott Walker, which were happy that we have a new governor, Governor Evers, in Wisconsin today. But over Scott Walker's terms, his first target and was working people. And he passed Act 10, as we all remember, which took away the right to collective bargaining in real terms for public sector workers. And that really hurt not only the workers in the public sector, but hurt all of us that receive services from state and municipal services. So those workers, what he wanted to do was attempt to weaken the voice of public sector workers. But public sector workers are continuing to advocate for themselves, are continuing to advocate for the clients, the people that they serve. And we will continue to do that and continue to work to restore all of the rights that Scott Walker has taken away and to even go further for working people.
Talking with Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO, with your questions as well on labor unions, join in at 800-642-1234. What labor issues are you seeing? What changes do you want the state to make? Have you seen unions change your industry, change your business? You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Ed now, joining us from West Allis. Hi, Ed.
Well, this has been another real disastrous year in the state of Wisconsin for organized labor. We had the demolition, very symbolically, of the GMC plant in Janesville, which says to us that we're worthless, that our labor is not worth anything. We moved from the winter and the demolition to Mr. Hagedorn's election on the state Supreme Court. We had a good candidate. She didn't push the election into a recall, and now we have this virulently anti-union, union-busting justice on the state Supreme Court.
Well, Ed, I want to pause here because you're bringing up a multiple political issues, but specifically, how are auto worker unions doing, Stephanie? Ed brings up the demolition of the GM plant in Janesville and the final step of making sure to be able to rebuild the property in a different way?
Well, clearly we have seen, and Jerry's right, we have seen the so many different factories and manufacturing close in Wisconsin, and that has had a devastating effect on the workers and their families. And this is something that has certainly hurt Wisconsin workers with the trade deals that have gone on with NAFTA, with different trade deals that have negatively affected workers in Wisconsin. And he also brought up the elections, and certainly, you know, we saw a great win for working people in 2018 with Governor Tony Evers and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, whose parents are proud union members, and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes carries that message every day. But then we came to the spring, and we know that we did not get over the finish line with that Supreme Court election. And that just shows how important every single vote in Wisconsin is, that this is a state that is that wins elections or loses elections on a razor's edge, and how important it is going to be for Wisconsin people in Wisconsin to really understand the issues coming into the next election in 2020, because it is critical that in this year that we elect a person that is going to represent working people, that is going to be true to the ideals that they talk about in their campaign, and that is going to level the playing field for working people. Because so many people are hurting right now in terms of the kind of jobs they have, the work that they do, the pay that they receive in their pockets,
and we
the rising cost of health insurance.
Pause right there with Stephanie Bloomingdale. She is president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. You can join in. What labor issues are you seeing? What changes do you want Wisconsin to make in collective bargaining? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. On this Labor Day, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're getting a read on organized labor in Wisconsin, the past, the future. In 2015, Wisconsin became the 25th so-called right-to-work state, making union dues optional. Last year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that government workers cannot be required to pay for a union's negotiations on their behalf. Union members account for 8% of wage and salary workers here in Wisconsin. So what labor issue is foremost on your mind? Are you struggling to find work? What profession are you in? What obstacles do you find? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us WPR Mornings. Stephanie Bloomingdale is president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO, and she stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now. Rich joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi. Thank you very much for having a labor program on Labor Day, first off. Thanks very much for that. I'm curious about what your guest has to say on the fact that in many other places in the world, unions are highly valued by managers and owners of business. I taught briefly in Denmark, and their union membership is extremely high in a neighboring country, one of the most successful in Europe, Germany. And Germany gave us many of our immigrants. Wisconsin has a really strong Germanic tradition in it. You were just talking about beer earlier, and brewery workers were unionized. I don't understand why Americans have been brought to the conclusion. I think it's been a campaign by certain ideas in our culture that unions are sort of viewed as un-American.
Well, and Rich, let's see what Stephanie has to say about that. What do we know from our European counterparts, Stephanie?
Rich, you are completely correct in that many European countries and other countries throughout the world have embraced working men and women in their unions as a positive force for industry and a positive force for good production of products and services and goods. And we have seen over the decades mass focused attacks on the institution of unions. And we have seen this, and the reason that they do this, well, I think it's pretty clear they want to only maximize their short-term profits. And this is a real problem for the long-term trajectory for not only working Americans, but for all of Americans. Because when working men and women come together in their unions to have a better ability to bargain for wages, good wages and benefits, this helps not only the unionized workers, but helps all workers. And in turn, helps to fuel the economy by having people be able to buy the goods and services that they help to create. So it's a virtual circle that helps everyone in the long run. But sadly, we have seen a lot of these think tanks or the organizations like the Koch brothers and others that want to see the basic institution of organized labor destroyed. And that is something that we fight against each and every day, and something that we need to make sure that people understand how important unions are to a healthy, thriving economy.
Stephanie, you brought up, and I just want to interject here, you brought up Governor Evers' administration earlier. How have you seen the Evers administration so far deal with labor issues in Wisconsin?
Well, Governor Evers is a number one supporter of working people and their right to organize. And that is something which is very refreshing for us here in Wisconsin. And we work very well with him and look forward to working with him as we restore all of the rights that have been taken away by Scott Walker and his allies that really need to be restored. And when you talk about your guest or your caller, Rich, talked about that people's perceptions of unions. And I am happy to report that is turning around. And we see and you mentioned this in the beginning, Kate, that just this week we saw a Gallup poll that showed that unions are at a 50-year high for support. So 64% of Americans support unions today, which is a 50-year high.
Let's look at the landmark Supreme Court ruling, Janus versus AFSCME, last year. Now unions can't charge non-union worker fees for collective bargaining. How have unions adjusted to that?
Well, certainly these attacks on working people were designed to weaken the institution of their unions. And we saw that as well, and we know that for a variety of reasons, the courts have been stacked the way they are. But how has that played out? That's played out in working people's unions each and every day, making sure that they are talking to their members. Members are understanding the value of the unions and signing people up to engage and participate in those organizations.
But have unions been impacted financially in the last year that they can't mandate non-members to pay fees? What do fees look like?
Well, certainly that is true throughout the nation. And, of course, here with our public sector unions during Act 10, that had already happened. So it's, a bit different. And really the Act 10 that was implemented is very much worse for public sector workers because of some of the inability to bargain over meaningful financial items. But certainly it has had an effect on working people's unions, and everyone suffers because of that. And so what we need to do is work every day to turn that around, to make sure that every working person is fully engaged in their union. That's the only way to have strong unions and a strong middle class.
Talking with Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. Let's bring in Duane now, joining us from Adams County. Hi, Duane.
Hello.
What's on your mind about unions?
Well, my question is, in some communities where they have organized public sector workers, and the union, through the bargaining, increase wages beyond at a faster rate than the residents in their community, and drives up costs and property taxes and things like that. What's the theory on what's the theory on how that works? Where's the benefit for the community when firefighters get into the six digits in earning range and people in the community are still struggling to get there?
Duane, thanks for the call. Stephanie, what is your response to that?
Well, I think the best thing for working people to do is to look to lift all boats, to find out how we can raise all of our wages. And working people are unhappy and frustrated because of the wages that have been stagnant, like I said, since 1978, only going up 12% in that whole time, while CEO pay has gone up almost 1,000%. And so that has hurt working people, many of them having to work more than one job, which really it's unpatriotic to ask anyone to work more than one full-time job to make ends meet.
But so, union membership has been steadily declining since the mid-80s. Why do you think that is?
That is because of direct attacks on the ability to come together in unions. And we've seen that those attacks and those changes in the laws, which allow for union busters to come in when people are organizing their unions and basically break the law, with very little, very little penalties whatsoever. And so we know that that income inequality is directly correlated to union density, and we need to make sure that we pass that Protecting the Right to Organize Act, which is in Congress right now, which will level the playing field for workers to come together and organize in their union.
very quickly.
When that happens, everyone does better. All working people will do better.
When you became president last year, there was some focus on the fact that you were the first female president of the state AFL-CIO. Do you think about gender in your leadership role and what women in power, in the power to negotiate?
Well, certainly I do because I'm a woman. So I think about I think about that every day. And it is very exciting for me to be the president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO and to really take the organization in a direction which focuses on growth, not only for our present union members, but for really opening the door to all workers who work for a living in all different sectors, sectors that are dominated mostly by women, and also places that people haven't organized before. So I'm really excited about making sure that we're electing union members to public office at all levels of government.
Well, Stephanie,
maximizing our collective voice at the ballot box and winning
you.
For workers.
Thank you for thank joining you. Us. Stephanie Bloomingdale is president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. We'll be back for more State Capitol Report after this news update on the Ideas Network.